Are you ready for the Good Morning Gjallarhorn?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
That shoddy all the way down the line.
You ain't kidding. It's been a relatively quiet 2 weeks up until today, and we will get into that. But we hope you all have been doing extremely well. We want to give you a big thanks for the wonderful viewership of our last episode. We neared 1,000 views.
Damn.
I know. That is so cool. Now,
glad we got big families, huh?
That's right. Speaking of which, Drew, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. All caught up on my rookie Viking breakdowns and just waiting for 100 days or whatever so we can kick this thing off. Light this candle, as Ted Glover would say.
Well, you have given us impressions of all 12 of them.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work, but I've really enjoyed, learned a lot about these guys. I have a good, pretty good idea on, at least my idea on who's going to be here and who's not. And, you know, it gives you an idea of who's going to be doing what at camp. And it's been a good learning experience. I didn't know about the back half seven. So,
well, speaking of which, how in the world did you find YouTube video of the young soon to be lieutenant cutting at a long snapper camp?
I can find video on anybody. My wife's a lawyer. I got connections. No, that was pretty cool. You know, when I saw that and I was going to share it, I go, you know, who's going to like this? Dave's going to like this.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know. He's probably got the longest shot of everybody, doesn't he? I mean, you guys know more than about that, the commitment thing, whether he's going to play or not. But, you know, if they get drafted, I got to do a write-up on them. So,
well, hopefully they're working to get so he can serve probably in the reserves and play football and then serve his active duty commitment afterwards. We'll find out. It's still up in the air.
Yeah, we had, I didn't know till today, we had the most draft picks of any team in the NFL this year.
Yes. So,
we'll have to see how that pans out. But
and did you know that that's the second most since they went to the 7-round format?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
The knowledge. Most was picked in 1 year was 13.
Do you guys also know that the Minnesota Vikings will also have the most draft picks that won't make the team because they were all 6th and 7th round guys.
No, giving that the buzz of the day, right?
Speaking of which, there's Ted Glover.
Ted Glover, what up, dog?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, fellas. What is late night? And we're in the grandpa edition of whatever our show is now, and like it is 9:30 at night Central Time, or as I refer to it as God's time. We're doing this so late. That's okay. I'm fired up.
You're used to it. You've been up watching hockey with me with the Sharks and Blues, so you're kind of used
to
it.
Yeah, I did. Good series so far.
What a series that's turned into be. It's going to be a great one, man.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to announce, besides the Blues and Sharks, is that we have a special guest joining us tonight and should be with us shortly.
We do.
We do.
From the Blues and the Sharks? Oh, no.
Vladimir Tarasenko?
Tarasenko's going to be on?
Wow.
Dude, now, I like guests.
How many Fighting Sioux former players play for either the Blues or the Sharks?
That would be zero on San Jose's end.
I'll be honest with you. I am not nearly the hockey fan I used to be. And I living in St. Louis, here's my quick hockey story. I grew up a huge Minnesota North Stars fan. Huge. Probably right at as big a North Stars fan as I was a Vikings fan when I was a kid.
With Neil Broughton?
Neil Broughton, Dino Cicerelli, Bobby Smith.
There we go.
Gilles Melosh, you betcha. When the North Stars moved to Dallas, I was done with hockey. I was done. I didn't follow hockey. from the second they moved until I moved to St. Louis. And I had a hard time kind of warming up to the Blues, because back in the day, the Blues and the North Stars were huge rivals in the old Conn Smythe Conference Norris Division.
Oh, that's beautiful. The old Conn Smythe.
Blackhawks, Blues, North Stars,
That's why the Norris became the Norris for the Vikings.
Yeah.
That's where it came from, the Norris Division.
And I hated the Blues. I hated the Blues. And Saturday night during game one, we went over to some friend's house. And Drew, Dave, I don't know if you remember this name. I don't know how much of a hockey fan you were. But back in the 1980s, the Blues had a goalie named Mike Liut.
Do not remember him.
And I hated that guy. I just hated him. Because he just stonewalled the North Stars every time they played, whether it was Minnesota or at the old Checker Dome in St. Louis. He just stonewalled them. And a buddy of mine is brother-in-law with Mike Liut. So,
no matter of fact,
yeah, I guess Liut's a very successful player agent now. And he is the agent for, I think, Bennington, the Blues goalie, I think.
Kid that Bennington was on yesterday, that's what won the game for him.
Yeah.
So. I thought the Sharks kind of controlled that whole game, except Bennington was the difference, I think. He played well.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
That's a good story. That's a good connection right there.
Still trying to get back into hockey, and I have a hard time cheering for the Blue Note, but, you know.
Well, after my Sharks beat the Avs, and you guys had already wrapped up your series, you had already earned the bid to the Western Conference Final. I thought to myself, you know what? The Blues and Sharks have never won the Stanley Cup, so one of us is going to play for it.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So whatever happens in this series, I can carry my fanship right over. So that'll be
cool. Hey, maybe that means the same thing for the Vikings and some other team on the AFC.
No, the Vikings are never going to win it.
There's no correlation. There's absolutely no correlation to that. Zero.
None. At all. Zero.
Although, I would argue the St. Louis Blues are the Minnesota Vikings of the NHL, though.
Really, yeah, what are they? Teams. Yeah, they're 50 years?
Never 50 won it years? All. Yeah. Never won the Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Hey, I see that our guest has joined us.
Hey, there's our guest.
A guest.
And for all who do not know, this is Mr. Luke Braun, formerly of Pocket Protectors, now of Locked On Vikings, your daily, at least 4 days a week, that is, Vikings podcast. The kid you cheated on in math class, who loves to talk Vikings daily. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. Glad to be on this show.
They're not booing. They're saying Luke. How are you, man?
I've never been popular enough to get a Luke chance.
Cool.
Quiet whispers is at best.
Well, originally, when I talked to Luke and booked him, we were going to talk about all the different ways the Vikings could come about cap space so as to sign our number one draftee, Garrett Bradbury. Well, today being Tuesday, May 14th, as we record, the good news came out of Egan. The Vikings signed Garrett Bradbury. And within the next few minutes after the announcement, everybody was asking, where'd the money come from?
Well, I wasn't. I was taught at a very young age by my uncle, never ask where the money comes from. Never ask that question. Just sit back and be quiet.
Well, we did find out a little bit later that Eric Kendricks literally took one for the team, and they reworked his contract. So about half of it went to immediate bonus.
Okay.
He got paid $2.1 million today or something like that.
I don't mean – well, I kind of do mean to interject here, but I don't mean to interject.
Interject! Let's go.
Here's the deal. If taking one for the team means I'm getting $2.1 million deposited in my bank today – by close of business, where do I sign up to take one for the team? How is that a bad deal? I mean, the more I think about this, I never really thought about contracts and converting salary to roster bonus. I mean, unless unless you go through money faster than Charlie Sheen in a room full of hookers and cocaine, why wouldn't you want all your money up front, man? I mean, seriously.
Okay. Well, on that note, I guess you're putting it over to me. I got to take over.
our resident cocaine expert.
I will just add this. When I was growing up, all the way up till whenever I had to take one for the team, I never got any money for it.
All right? No,
that's
all I have to
Are say. We talking like fire festival or question. Something else?
Go ahead. What?
Like? Are we talking like fire festival take one for the team or something else?
No. Yeah, take one for the team, Drew. All right. I'll take one. No, I don't. Yeah, I know what Ted's saying. I get what you're saying. It's $2 million. That's tough taking one for the team, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Luke, can you explain to us exactly what happened?
Yeah. So to make the room to sign Garrett Bradbury, they converted, I think it was like $2.15 million, a bunch of his salary for the 2018 season into a signing bonus. So what a signing bonus does is that is money direct deposited into Eric Kendricks' bank today. You can go cash it, buy a yacht, whatever. And in terms of the salary cap, the burden of that $2.15 million is now spread over all of the years of Eric Kendricks' contract. So from this year all the way through 2023, they'll be paying, like, I think it's like $375K on the cap or something each and every year. And that is fully guaranteed. Even if the Vikings trade Eric Kendricks and somebody else takes on his contract, that money, signing bonus money, is still on the Vikings' books because we literally paid it to him and it's already changed hands. And in the bargaining agreement, this is why the whole take one for the team thing is so funny. In the bargaining agreement, you can't say no to that deal. If a team wants to convert your salary to signing bonus, you have to say yes to it. Otherwise, it's actually a breach of your contract. And like, why would a player ever say no, right? You're just getting you're getting a huge pay advance. Who would say no to that? But if anybody ever wanted to for whatever reason, that's actually a breach of contract. So Eric Kendricks just had a good day and then got to play baseball with the Twins. I'd say he's doing fine.
Hey, Luke, I have a question for you. So is it mandatory that a signing bonus is prorated throughout the life of the contract? Or if the Vikings had enough cap space to fit it under their cap this year, could they have converted, like, say they had $9 million in cap space and wanted to free up some more? Could they have taken that, given him a bonus, and then just sort of – or prorated it through over 2 years? The life of the contract?
I think it has to be the life of the contract, but okay. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a lot of knowledge. What the hell are you doing on this show?
Right?
How do they go about finding the guy till they're going to restructure? They start, hey, Spielman, get in here, grab a phone book, and they start calling, hey, you want to restructure? You want to restructure? How do they go about finding that Kendricks was the guy? Just they get
probably whoever has the longest contract, because then the burden gets split up over the most years. You know, if they did that, if they converted like Kyle Rudolph's contract to signing bonus, it wouldn't change anything on the cap. You just get his money sooner.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what's going to happen with Rudy. I don't mean to take over the show questioning, but that's kind of what we're leading to, right? It's got to be Dave's next question.
He's got to be less likely to get traded now, right? Because they don't need to clear any cap space now. They have like $620K. They've got to sign their practice squad guys and stuff, and maybe they have to move a little bit of money around here and there to do that. But I don't think they have to clear up $7.5 million. Like, they don't have to really worry about Kyle Rudolph's contract in that sense. So
right.
It's really a matter, and they've been on the phone with guys for 3 or 4 months. So I think everybody's offer is basically what it's going to be, and the Vikings have said no to all of them. So I don't think at this moment any of the other 31 teams are willing to offer enough to the Vikings for Kyle Rudolph for them to pull the trigger on the deal. But hey, somebody's tight end gets injured in camp, things might change. Maybe that happens, but I think Kyle Rudolph is coming into Vikings training camp.
You know, I had something, I was looking at it earlier, I was talking to somebody, and a lot of Viking fans always get to the, what, $7.5 million is what he's going to be making. And a lot of people have their own opinions about that. In the general sense is, it's a lot of money. And then I look at the tight ends in the league, and a guy like Trey Burton is making $8 million. Now, is Trey Burton better than Kyle Rudolph? I mean, is $7 million, is it really that astronomical? To me, it seems like he's getting paid right what he should be getting paid, Luke. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think his contract is fair. I wouldn't extend him at market rate, because he'd be on the wrong side of 30, and I'm kind of a hater. I don't think that he's a top 10 tight end.
That's understandable.
But for $7.5 million, yeah, I think that's a square deal. probably an underpay. I don't know what the rest of the tight end contracts are, but yeah, no, I think the fact that the Vikings are paying their guy less than the Bears are paying their guy is probably good for the Vikings.
Well, from what I've heard today and read, most people, and not PFF, but most people do think if you racked and stacked him on his ability against the other 31 starting tight ends, he would be basically about number 10, number 8, 9, or 10 as tight ends. He doesn't get paid that much. And one of the reasons why we didn't hear of a trade or him restructuring is he was like, no, you're not going to, the Vikings theoretically aren't going to give him guaranteed more years. So he had no reason to. And so he's going to say, no, I'll play out this last season and I'll move on, or you'll trade me and I'll move on. And I will probably get a bigger payday in the next contract, which is probably true, especially with the way prices are going up and people are being overvalued.
You're going to pay a 32-year-old dude?
No, I don't think so.
$8 million next year?
That's, I think he's,
someone might.
I wouldn't.
I think he's there in for a rude awakening money-wise.
That would.
Some John Gruden crazy person might do that.
Yeah.
The Vikings won't, but yeah. If I'm Kyle Rudolph, I want to take my chance on the market. Because especially if you get two teams that are interested in you and you can start bidding them against each other, harder to do that in an extension negotiation. If I'm Kyle Rudolph, I want to hit the market.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Now, I think we got to have him for this season, though. I think it's imperative. I mean, if we lose him, I don't think Irv Smith Jr. is ready to start week one. I'd like to have Rudy here for this season.
Yeah, I think Irv would be ready week one. I really liked him coming. He was one of my favorite second round draft prospects. So I was really excited when we got him because I thought he was like a day one ready, really polished guy. But I mean, yeah, the Vikings with Kyle Rudolph are unquestionably better than the Vikings without Kyle Rudolph. That would be silly. It would be a matter, if you trade him, it's because you're getting like a second round pick back or something really big and valuable that makes it
worth
it.
Mm-hmm. No, well, yeah. And the whole idea of Rudolph and Irv Smith in a 12 formation just gets me all giddy.
Well, that's another thing. You take him out of there. What happens with all that? All that scheming and all that, given the defensive coordinator's headaches with Rudy and Irv Smith, you can't take Rudy out and stick David Morgan in. Nobody's scared of David Morgan. He's not going to do anything.
I have two words for you, Drew Bunting.
What's that?
Tyler Gronklin. No, you guys are right. I think
Tyler
the Vikings
Gronklin.
Offense with Kyle Rudolph is like
here he goes with a buzz.
The Vikings offense with Rudolph is a lot better than they are without. And we talked about this a couple episodes back. Rudolph and Smith together on the field with Diggs and Thielen, however you want to do it, either way, you're looking at a lot of mismatches in that are to the advantage of the Vikings offense. So it's going to be fun to see this offense implemented, and now if they can just execute it and score points and win games. I think that's the big question that everybody's waiting for now.
I don't think you can put a linebacker on any one of those guys. Like, you can't put a linebacker on Diggs and Thielen, obviously. You can't put a linebacker on Rudolph or Smith. I wouldn't even be comfortable putting a linebacker on Dalvin Cook.
No, not even.
To cover.
No.
You have to do zone, and then if you know they're going to do zone a lot because of your personnel, that's a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having a tight end that can stretch a field or a seam or get – it opens up your playbook so much. I mean, there's so much more you can do. I mean, the Vikings have a lot of weapons offensively. So there's not really any excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses this year.
As long as they all stay healthy, you betcha.
You know, well, everybody fights against the injury bug, but you know, by week 10, nobody's fully healthy. Every team's got injuries. So, yeah, well, I hope. So Rudy's gonna. You guys think he's gonna be here as a Viking then, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah,
I think he starts camp here. Somebody, I mean, Travis Kelce blows out his ACL, and the Chiefs offer, you know, offer the Vikings something they can't refuse. Maybe that happens, but otherwise, I think he's here.
Yeah, I think so too. I was not optimistic until today, and when the news broke, I think was it late last week that the contract negotiations broken off between the Vikings and Rudolph. like negotiations that we didn't even really know were going on. It just sort of seemed to be somebody planting the seed that Rudolph's time in Minnesota was coming to an end. But it looks like they figured something out, and I'm glad they have. So,
well, they still need a little bit more money. The $600,000 isn't enough to sign the practice squad and then the 52nd and 53rd player once we get at the end of camp and get down to that final 53. Luke, how do you think they're going to scrounge up that extra $2.5 million?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of ways they can do this. They don't have to deal with this until it's like roster cut day, right?
Right,
so
August.
They can wait and see if someone goes on IR and it just fixes the problem for you, which would be unfortunate and stuff, but they can wait and make sure that they don't do more costly cap work before they know that 100% that they have to. And then there's a whole bunch of options. So you can do the same thing you just did with Eric Kendricks. You could do that with Diggs, and you can do that with Hunter. And it's similarly not really going to affect you at all, presuming you plan to have Diggs on your team for the length of this contract, which, like, probably, right? You can try to find a way to trade a small-time player, do something like what the Giants did with Brett Jones to us last year, trade somebody away that way. If there's a player at a maybe particularly crowded position that you think you're going to cut and you want to maybe see if you can't flip them for a conditional seventh-round pick but just get rid of the cap space, kind of like what the 49ers did with Nick Easton back in the day, that's a move you could do. And you could, if you wanted to structure your roster cuts around trying to save money and cutting the more expensive players to save that, that's maybe an option too, though that would be pretty difficult and probably not what you want to do after everybody just played a whole preseason trying to make the team.
There's one last one that I heard today that about shocked me, but that actually makes sense. You could extend Trey Waynes and then lower this year's cap payment on him if they want to keep Trey Waynes.
Yeah, if you want to keep him around, I would. I think he's a good CB2.
He's a good CB2. Now, the question is how much money would he accept?
So. And you're starting to get tight in next year's cap, too, so you have to figure that out as well.
I wonder if Brzezinski's ready to quit yet.
That dude deserves a GM job. I don't want to lose him, but he deserves it.
Picture him sitting at his desk like... just going, holy shit, these guys got me backed into a corner, don't they?
Well, it makes you wonder if he keeps a bottle of whiskey in his desk drawer. And if it has anything left...
He pulled it off, though. Everybody's ready for camp.
Everybody's ready, and we have camp, starting next? Coming up Friday, right?
Yeah, OTAs, and then true camp starts in,
August. July. Yeah, in July.
Hey, Luke, these 12 draft picks, who do you – I mean, we all love Bradbury, but who do you really – who do you think might come shining through that somebody we might, not be popular with other people?
Oh, who might not – because, like I said, Irv Smith – when I did the draft breakdown on my show, I called Irv Smith like the one draft pick I've been most excited about in the last like 3 or 4 years. I think of the late guys, I love drafting guys like Oli Udoh, even though like there's a chance he doesn't pan out and he doesn't ever develop the way you want him to and he never makes the team and that's it. But I love taking that high ceiling lottery ticket because it's a 6th round pick. Who cares?
Right.
I like Armin Watts' chances to really make an impact. I think people are pretty excited about Drew Samia, and I'm one of them. So I don't know if he kind of fits that like underrated aspect or whatever.
He's going to be a road grader. He's tremendous. Armin Watts, okay.
Big senior year, and people really the biggest knock about him is, ooh, is he a flash in the pan or not? And I like his chances to not be a flash in the pan.
Do you think the linebacker Cameron Smith from USC can eventually work himself into be a starter?
To be a starter, no. I don't think he's athletic enough. To be a starter, especially because he's going to play out his whole rookie contract with Barr and Kendricks under contract as well.
So it's mostly just special team standout? Or...
Yeah, and a backup. Guys get hurt.
Yeah, he's got to. I watched a lot of tape on that guy. That guy's got a nose for the football, but.
Yeah. He does have some flaws. I think he directly competes with Kentrell Brothers for a roster spot.
Okay. Cool.
Well, speaking of roster spot, what do you think of the WR3 spot?
It's chaos, man. I think here's what I think about it. I've been calling Laquan Treadwell a wounded caribou. I think he holds that spot right now. And there are 5 coyote circling him, and it's just a matter of which one of them is going to take it from him.
That is great.
Because I don't think, I mean, he lost his job by the end of the 2018 season to Aldrick Robinson, who's now not on the team, and it's who can play as well or better than Aldrick Robinson. I think
Where did he go? Where'd he go?
He's still a free agent. Yeah, he's still a free agent, I think. I'll tell you who's going to be WR3.
Yeah.
And you may laugh, but I think by about week three or four, Irv Smith is going to be playing a lot of – I mean, he's a tight end, really? And they're going to be playing a lot of two tight end sets. But I think they're going to play him in the slot a lot. I think he's good enough to play outside, not a lot, but I think he can line up outside once in a while. But I just kind of have the feeling – the more I watch of Irv Smith Jr., the more I think –
oh, geez, man.
I go back – his dad said, you know, son, you can either be a fast tight end or a slow wide receiver. And he just kind of gives me that WR3 vibe. He really does.
You know who he kind of reminds me of?
Ron Treadwell in his 40.
He kind of reminds me of old foot. When I saw his footage, the first guy that popped into my head was Ozzie Newsome. Some of that old footage that he had when he played on the Browns, he kind of reminded me of him.
What Luke, what'd you say about his 40?
200 shy of Laquan Treadwell.
Really?
He was a 4.63. Treadwell was a 4.61.
Dude. Yeah, but it still doesn't. But it speed isn't everything as a wide receiver. If you know how to run routes, if you know how to block out and have range and be able to grab an actual football, right, and catch it, that's a big part, i.e. look at Treadwell, look at Troy Williamson. Mm-hmm. You have an advantage.
Yeah, he can win contested catches. He can run routes good enough. I think he'll look like a rookie route running, and he's got room to grow, but I wouldn't call him raw. I think that's a different way to describe it. And he's got straight line speed where you can put him in the slot, run him up the seam, and it makes a defense have to care about it. And I for all the offensive coordinators that have run through Minnesota in the last 4 or 5 years, I think all of them have put Kyle Rudolph in the slot and outside. So I can't imagine. I feel like that's just a thing that NFL OCs do all the time. So, yeah, I agree. I think you can see Irv Smith lining up in the slot. I like Chad Beebe for it, though. I think the way he runs routes is really, really polished. He picks up some things from Diggs and Thielen. You can tell they've taught him some tricks. And I actually really like his chances to take on a bigger role in 2019.
So you have him kind of going into Egan. I keep wanting to say Mankato. You have
That's because you're old.
You got him as your inside track guy to be WR3.
Yeah, I'd give him the favorite, but kind of like the NBA lottery, you know, 14% is bigger than anybody else, but it's still 14%. There's six guys.
Fair enough.
It could be anybody.
Yeah,
could be Dylan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, he was not supposed to go in the seventh.
He had some. He's pretty good in the open field. We need somebody to step up. I'm sick of talking about the wide receiver three spot for the last three seasons, honestly.
Well, yeah. It's somebody's bound to. Kubiak is bound to make this offense work.
You talking about DeFilippo.
Why is the Denver Mafia going to be different than DeFilippo? The
because
only guy that's made
2019.
Work.
It's an odd year. The Vikings do well in odd years.
Oh, can't argue that.
Rub your lucky rabbit's foot. Don't walk under a ladder and let's go, baby. Bull, homeboy.
Oh,
we also get Ohio State at home this year. So,
oh God.
Well, it just means a home loss.
No, they won't lose this year.
You're not even a basketball school anymore.
Yeah, they lost him too. Hey, Luke, who do you pull for in college football? Who's your team?
I chose my team. I don't really watch that much college football, but last year I resolved to watch the whole season and follow.
All right, you're out.
Go Sooners.
Oh, really?
Sooners? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went with Oklahoma.
Okay, nothing out on the left coast.
Hey, as long as he's not in Ohio State, he's fine.
Both USC and UCLA rejected me for college out here, so I have to hate them forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they got good parties.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
They got some good parties at that school.
Ever once. Josh Rosen is a hack.
You know what? We don't Matt Barkley and Matt Ryan. Don't root for him either, Luke, so they suck. They suck, so we don't root for him either. We're Big Ten. We go Big Ten all the way.
Fair enough.
Hey, Ted. Hey, Ted. Wait, Ted.
Yeah.
Spielman drafted Big 12 this year.
Fourth round. Yeah, he sure did.
That's I don't think that's ever happened, has it?
Well, he drafted. Who's he drafted Big Phil back in the day.
Oh, that's right. That's correct.
Early, yeah. But I mean, other than Lodeholt, because Khalil was USC. Yeah, I would think Samia is the highest Big 12 O lineman Spielman's drafted since Phil Lodeholt.
That Samia smash the shit out of people this year. I like that guy.
Think he's going to start?
Yes, he's going to get the job over Klein. He's going to win it at preseason.
Luke?
Oh, that'd be nasty.
Luke, you think he's going to get the start?
I don't think he's ready to play right away. I think he starts in 2020.
Luke, give us the O-line from left guard all the way across. Go ahead, hit
left
it.
Tackle.
Left tackle.
Let's hear it.
I think it's Riley Reiff, Elfline, Bradbury, Klein on a short leash, Brian O'Neill.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I got. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
He copied my paper. That's why he got kicked out of UCLA, because he fucking copies paper.
Well, Luke, what did you turn all that math knowledge into for your day job? I know during the day we see you on Twitter all the time talking Vikings, but I do know you do something else for a living.
I work as an editor in LA, which
really?
Means a lot of render time, so a lot of time to screw around on Twitter.
Editor? Editing in the LA Times?
No, I edit for a YouTube channel. We make 6 or 7 videos a day. I'm part of a stable of like a dozen editors, and we all pump stuff out all day.
Dude, that's awesome.
As much as you're on Twitter, I had you pegged for a federal government employee.
A lot of render time. My computer's locked up, so I screw around online.
Nice.
I know that.
Well, good to have you at Viking Nation, though. You got a lot of good info. Info I don't keep track of.
Thank you.
You should listen to Locked On Vikings every day, because Luke has provided not only, you know, you've done a ton of research there, Drew. Luke has too, but also has some of the cool backstories on these draftees.
I like backstories. I like.
What's your favorite one, Luke?
Oh boy, I just started it. My favorite one might be the one that's coming out tomorrow, Wednesday. I don't know when people are listening to this, but the one that's coming out on Wednesday has Kentrell Brothers in it, and his story. He is a special dude. He's the kind of guy that you want in your life.
Really?
I like his story a lot. I really like them all. I've been doing that series. I wrote for Purple PTSD and Vikings Territory since 2016. And I've been doing that series the whole time. So I've done this as kind of my camp preview, where I go back and I find the backstory and where all these players are from and kind of who they are as people and what they're fighting for, you know? I mean, Stephon Diggs doesn't have a lot to gain in the preseason. He's just got to kind of get the scheme down and stay healthy. But look at, you know, Dylan Mitchell or Alexander Hollins. They have everything on the line. Everything that they've been working for throughout high school and college is on the line. The fourth preseason game for those players, that's their Super Bowl.
Sure.
Because their careers are on the line. And I think it's so compelling to go through and,
that is
and
awesome.
Tell all of those stories. They're worth telling. So I've been doing on the show. We do 4 episodes a day. And for as many segments as I can spare, not talking about news. Sometimes I have to spend a little time talking about news. Otherwise, I'm taking each and every player and I'm spending 7 or 8 minutes on their backstory and where they came from and moments that define them. And I just started that. I think I'm only on my 7th show of that. So we've still got plenty of a way to go. But we've gone through guys like Pat Elfline and his wrestling background. And there's this fun story about him getting his butt whooped in 7th grade and how he'll never forget it. And, you know,
probably by a Wolverine fan.
Islands. Sorry, what?
Probably by a Wolverine fan.
Highly doubt it. There are a bunch of eggheads that have a terrible sports school.
I forget if he was even in that area in high school. But, you know, going through all of those stories, no player is too small. Tomorrow, Stacy Keeley gets 8 minutes. And his story is actually really weird and interesting, too. He's got a twin brother. They went to school together, then they left. It was crazy. But it's I think their story is worth telling, and if that's the kind of thing that interests you, you should come check it out.
That is all very interesting to me. When I try to do background stuff myself, I mean, I go through the I do the football background stuff, and then I try to do try to find something out like a cool thing they did in high school or something in another sport or something. So I am really fully interested in that sort of thing.
Well, where would they find you, Luke?
So you can find Locked On Vikings anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can find it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. If you have a smart device like Siri or Alexa, you can just ask it to play podcast Locked On Vikings. If you say like, hey, Alexa, play podcast Locked On Vikings, it takes you right to the most recent episode. And you can find me on Twitter at LukeBronNFL. And this show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings.
Cool.
That's cool. And I can validate that Siri will play the latest episode of Locked On Vikings, if you ask her.
I'm stunned you even know how to use Siri, you old man. Good Lord, I can barely spell Siri.
I can't picture Charlie Daniels using no Siri, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Siri, can you... Siri, I can't bend down at the waist. Can you tie my shoes for me?
Okay, let's hear Tie My Shoes, featuring Young Thug by Future.
You are crazy. King Slap.
You can't do that yet.
That is a load of crap, man.
Siri, how long do I cook this 150-pound steak?
I can't get the answer to that on HomePod.
Fred Flintstone, man. Well, that's great. I'm gonna listen to that. Locked On Vikings. I'm on it.
Good. Love it. Come check it out.
Luke, it was great to have you on this episode. Is there anything you'd like to tell everybody at Climbing the Pocket and Daily Norseman before you leave?
Listen to the Pocket Protectors. Nick Olson's doing a great job in my stead.
He is.
With Eric and Jason and Nick. They're a great trio.
Agreed. We are.
Agreed.
My Siri just woke up. I've got her on my home pod.
See, you have no idea what you're doing. Idea what you're doing.
Not at all. Not one bit. Hey, Siri!
Uh-huh. Anyways, Drew, what have you got to say?
Meow, meow, Viking cow. I wanted to ask Luke more about Kirk Cousins, but we'll have him on for another show about that. I got some questions for him.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Ted, what do you got?
Don't ask Luke any questions about Kirk Cousins because nobody has the answer. Nobody. Nobody.
Just don't ask him about 4,000-yard seasons.
Hey, Luke, thanks for coming on. It was great having you. Dropped a ton of knowledge. You dropped more knowledge in 20 minutes than we could probably drop in about 2 hours.
I don't know. Yeah.
See, the defense rests.
I appreciate Luke's time. I have him on here every week, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, and Skol Vikes. Let's have fun at OTAs and get ready for training camp.
Hey, when does all that start? When's camp start?
Yeah,
training camp itself is
a week or so, and camp in late July, but I don't think the official dates have been announced yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, with that, Skol, everybody! Have a great week!
All right.